Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We are in mid-November, coming up on Thanksgiving, a time for everyone to give thanks and appreciate friends and family. And I hope that everybody is able to do that during this wonderful year of the Rona 2020. I've got a couple of guests on here who we are going to talk about a little computer stuff and a little bit of men's health, Dave Greenbaum and Mike Silverman. So that is going to be coming up here on PodNuts Pro right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of PodNuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I have just added onto the screen our two guests for today. One of the gentlemen you guys probably know very well, Dr. Dave, and sitting next to him is Mike Silverman. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. Just enjoying the lovely Kansas weather that is going to be like 70, 75 today, and then go really cold tomorrow.
What's really cold up there?
I don't know. What's it going to be tomorrow?
Like in the 50s. So it's not winter yet. Oh. Winter is coming.
Okay. So we had a little dip in our weather, and it was basically considered downright cold yesterday. The temperature yesterday was 76 with a real feel of 72. Ouch. So currently we are at 78 degrees, and I hope it doesn't go much colder than that.
No iguanas falling from the trees, right?
Nope, not yet. No, that's usually in the January, February timeframe when that happens, when we actually will dip below 50 for like a night.
That's when the iguana crop comes in each year, right?
Yep. So, all right. So for those of you that are joining us, if you have been a regular watcher and listener of the program, I want to thank you for coming back. This is PodNuts Pro. It is a podcast for technicians where we share products, we talk stories and share tips, helping everybody to run their computer repair, solo tech, consultant, managed service business, anything that we can help you do to help you support your business clients. Today, we're going to have a little bit of an off topic. Many of you might remember that at the very end of October, I had Corey Fruitman on, and we did a very special show where he shaved and got himself ready for the month of Movember. And Movember is a month where we focus on men's health. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And see where this goes. But first, let me do this. Dave, I know that most people that have seen you on the show probably want to know how's business and any interesting stories that have happened recently.
Oh, business has been pretty good. You know, we're focusing quite a bit on the remote work. I'm really trying to figure out getting the groove as far as contactless visits. And we're only trying to see clients once a day and asking a lot of screening and security questions just to make sure everyone keeps safe. And for the most part, the conversations go one way or the other. People go overboard saying, hey, I haven't been out. I'm going to wear my mask and all that. And someone will say, well, I don't believe in that Rona stuff. And I say, thank you very much. Go call Geek Squad. But otherwise, it's been good. It's certainly been an adjustment. You know, you like interacting with customers and kind of get to know them and stuff like that, and keeping a distance. But the flip side is, I've been picking up clients that normally would be too far of a distance. They'll hear about me and they're like, I'm an hour away, and I'd be like, hey, we can do this stuff remotely. So I've picked up actually some great clients recently just because they would prefer remote work with someone they trust, and that works out to be me.
So we're going to go off topic right away. Now, So a lot of my customers, we were already doing a lot of remote work for them. They were already doing remote access for their management. Most of my clients are law firms, so the attorneys were working remotely. What was the shift for your clients? Did you have a bunch that had to make a pivot when Rona hit, or did you already have some of that remote stuff in progress?
I didn't. I've always, remote was always something extra to me, more of a convenience to me for something out there. But the shift was because we couldn't go out there in many respects because of safety. Also, the technician I worked with was scared of going to people's homes, as I was. So it was the clients that were also requesting. They'd say, can we do this remotely? I'm worried and stuff like that. So right. Once people got the mind shift of, I've got to get this fixed. There's got to be a way to do it. I mean, the big success story was hooking up a printer. There's no way. I mean, printer's a fairly simple job. I was like, okay, we try to figure out other things to fill out the hour and on site minimum. And I'm like, okay. Well, they specifically said, we don't want you in our home, but we need to be able to print. Like, okay, plug in the printer. As long as you physically have it connected and can put in the inkjet cartridges, go from there. I was like, wow, this is slick. I can get used to this.
Yep.
And then I had a few clients who had moved away and said, I bet you're doing more remote work now. Do you have the system in place? Because I've seen it on your Facebook and stuff like that. Yeah. So I have a client that lives in Clearwater, and she's a real estate agent, and I've been helping her out with some things remotely. So that has been going forward after we start being able to do more on sites and stuff, I'm going to say, hey, I can use this example. After Corona, we got very good at remote support. Do you want to do a remote support session? And the nice thing is, for an on-site, it's a minimum of an hour. For a remote, it's a minimum of 15 minutes, same price. Usually, if it's something simple, it's like, well, I don't want to pay for you to come out for an hour for something right. like this. Or a tech support scam, or I got a message I'm not sure about on my computer. I'm like, hey, we can do a remote session. It'll be 15 minutes, give you that peace of mind. And then while we're on that call, maybe we'll figure out some other things to do, backup checkups, security checkups, stuff like that. So changing people's mindset about the necessity of remote work, as well as the flexibility and capabilities of remote work, I think is going to stay with my business for the rest
All right. of time. Okay. So before I shift over to Mike, I had a question. You said that you were working with a realtor in the Clearwater area?
Yeah.
Did this realtor happen to help Mike Smith find his place over there in Clearwater?
No. You know what? I never made that connection, actually. I forget Mike lives down there. No. She lived here in Lawrence and moved, and she messages me on Facebook every once in a while with a problem.
So okay.
If you're watching for some chance, hi.
All right. Now, Mike, you, for a lot of our listeners, some of them might know your name, but a lot of them probably don't know you or what you do. You're not far from the computer industry as well, right?
Hey, you're correct. I've kind of been in computer. I've been a geek my whole life, and was lucky enough to find a career in it. I do software quality assurance, which is a lot of fun because kind of at the most basic level, my job is to break software before it goes out to the wider world and be as creative as possible in trying to do that. So I always use the metaphor, when you talk to relatives or whatnot, that I'm like the guy at Toyota that straps the dummy in and then rams the car into the wall over and over again to see different ways to break it.
We call those dummies users.
Yeah. We're not quite as nice in our language about them. So here's the question, of course, that people are probably going to ask, and I'm not sure if you can say who you're working for, and you probably don't want to, but we get a lot of complaints that Microsoft and a lot of the software vendors that we work with don't do enough quality assurance. So, how does that work for you? Are you working with a product where you definitely do quality assurance and can take care of issues before they pop up?
Yeah, my company, and luckily most of the companies I've worked for in my career, have taken it seriously. Obviously, as you and all of your listeners know, that's not true across the board. A lot of times, quality assurance is seen as a kind of just a cost center or something that can be offshored. Responsible, good companies treat it seriously. It's equally as important as dev engineering. Or, you know, to use another metaphor, you know, the best, you know, you could have the best writer and, you know, there's a reason even Stephen King doesn't get to just write his own novels and ship them off without an editor making sure it all looks good. You really need that level of testing and thinking about the needs of clients, the needs of users.
All right.
The QA always puts themselves in the mind of a user. And, you know, not just the mind of a technical user, the mind of someone that maybe is not quite as technical, or maybe someone that maybe they have trouble seeing or hearing, and like, how do you make sure it works for them? Or they have a crazy network. There's all kinds of scenarios that a lot of times developers don't think of, but someone that's in QA will try to think of. And another problem that's probably very familiar to all your listeners, but there's a lot of different configurations, a lot of scenarios.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think of Apple, for example. They, how many different iPhones and operating systems and Mac OS versions do they have to test? And then you add in the complexity of the, you know, now there's watches and they have to sync, and it's just, it becomes, the term is regression. It becomes an enormous regression. And a lot of the skill is figuring out kind of how you can't test a billion scenarios, but maybe you can test, you know, 1,000 of the most common ones, and you just hope for the best. But, it's a lot of fun. It's a very interesting, kind of combination of art and science.
Yep. I understand that for sure. Even in my limited scope of working with software, you know, I just switched over a user on Monday where she went from Windows 7 to Windows 10. And of course wanted to make sure all her programs still worked. And so we had to, you know, literally log her in. And in her case, we had to log in to all three. Well, let me rephrase that. All four of the browsers, because even though they are using Edge, Firefox, and Chrome, this is a law firm, and a lot of their law sites still have to work on Internet Explorer. So we had to make sure and check all of that. And, you know, she asked me the question, why can't they just work anywhere? I'm like, listen, if I could give you that answer, I'd be rich and I wouldn't be here to answer. So, all right. So, gentlemen, let's go ahead and pivot and get into a discussion that I know a lot of men really don't like having these discussions. I know that I don't. Or let me rephrase that. I am now, but I didn't. Especially growing up as a jock and athlete, men just didn't talk about issues. We didn't talk about being hurt. We didn't talk about feelings. We didn't do any of that. And we certainly didn't go to a doctor unless our wife made us. So the month of Movember, Corey Fruitman got us started off with talking about that. And I did put a link to his fundraising page. So folks, if you want to go back and listen to that show, I'll get the link for you as well as his fundraising page. But Dave and Mike actually brought up a point where with Corey, we talked about one aspect, but you guys wanted to bring up another aspect of men's health. So instead of me asking bumbling questions, why don't you guys tell us what you want to talk about?
Well, do you want to go or should I? I mean, one of the issues that kind of with men's health, and it's, you know, when Dave told me about your show, I was excited to come on here with him. You know, unpleasant, but something a lot of men face, which is prostate cancer. And it's, it's an unpleasant disease. I mean, you have the C word right there. And even worse, it's cancer, you know, in an area that's kind of important for what it means to be a man. So it's something that it's really easy to put your head in the sand and just, you know, hope, try to wish it away. But sometimes you can't. And it's an important, you know, every man should, talk to their doctor and at least be familiar with, what it is and when you should get checked out. And, you know, a good doctor will probably tell you when it's your time. But it's not something you can just ignore. I believe 1 in 7 men will end up with prostate cancer at some point in their lives, which is a crazy high number.
Yes, it is. Now, one of the reasons I was glad that you guys brought this up is because when I've started bringing up all these different topics, you know, we always hear from people, well, that's not tech related. Well, you know what? When it comes to this, it doesn't matter. If you're running a business, if you're a tech, if you're a solo tech especially, paying attention to your health is something that should be just as mandatory as invoicing your clients. So I wanted to just get that point home so that people, you know, think about it from the standpoint of if you're not healthy and you can't work, you know, what is the quality of life there? So I want to thank you for bringing that up. Now, as I understand it, Mike, you actually went and got checked, and was it something that you noticed something on your own, or was it your doctor saying, hey, it's time, why don't we do these checks?
It was not anything I noticed. I would have happily and ignorantly kind of kept living my life until it would have been too late. But my doctor, based on a family history of this disease, my father and my grandfather both suffered from prostate cancer. So my doctor wanted me to get a level of this blood hormone called PSA, prostate-specific antigen, just get a test to see where the number was at. And normally, like as a screening mechanism, this usually isn't done till you're over 50, but because of my family history, they decided to test me earlier. And the number was high. It was above the normal range. So, you know, I'm someone that doesn't panic or rush off. So it's kind of like, let's get this tested again and make, you know, see if the number is, you know, maybe it's just an outlier or something. And it ended up, no, the number is really high. And so I needed to probably get this checked out in more detail. And so the next step was to get a biopsy where they actually go in and take some samples from the prostate organ itself. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things where I wasn't really taking it seriously. It's, I have to go to another doctor and, you know, have something shoved in a place I don't want it, but then they'll tell me it's fine and I don't have to worry about it. But in my case, it wasn't. It came back with an extremely clear cancer diagnosis.
Mm. So you mentioned that this was something that your doctor recommended because of the family history. Now, did this doctor actually work with other members of your family and that's why he knew, or is this documented in your health history?
Documented in my health history. You know, just, I guess, at some point when I, you know, was, you know, when I did my intake, when I went to the clinic the first time, they asked for, you know, family history, you know, do you have heart disease, cancers, et cetera. So I think at that point I just told them that, and it was in the health history.
All right. So that's an important thing to remember, that when they ask questions, there is a very good reason to answer honestly, because had that not been in your history, they probably wouldn't have recommended that and you would not have known. So tell us now, you know, are you good? Did you have to go through any, you know, treatment, procedures, surgery? Did it hurt? All that stuff?
Yeah, no, so after the cancer diagnosis, you know, obviously went and talked to a specialist. You know, interestingly enough, just as a bit of trivia, most cancers you go see an oncologist, but for prostate cancer, generally urologists are the doctors that treat it, and they work with a lot of other doctors. So I saw a urologist at the University of Kansas Medical Center, you know, which is one of the better hospitals in our region. And we talked through all of the options for treatment. And what's interesting about prostate cancer is that it's a very slow growing cancer. It's one that, it'll eventually get you, but it's not something where you have to rush and get, you know, start treatment a week after it's diagnosed. So we had a couple months to talk about options, you know, such as various forms of radiation and then surgery. And because I was, I am fairly young to be getting a cancer like this,
Dave shaking his head.
There's a spring chicken in my early 20s. We opted for surgical removal of the prostate organ. And the reason is because since I'm younger, having it out of there is the best way to guarantee kind of that the cancer wouldn't return and that it wouldn't affect me the rest of my life. Older, I found out through my research, older patients, like let's say someone maybe in their 60s or 70s, they may opt for radiation, which is less invasive, or even just monitoring the cancer because it is a slow, a slow growing cancer. If someone's diagnosed when they're 75, you know, they might be okay just, you know, waiting a while because, you know, perhaps, they're at a late point in their life, but that wasn't an option for me because I don't want to die when I'm 60. So, we talked about it and I made the decision to have the organ removed.
All right. Now, very interesting enough, when you talked about the fact that it's slow growing and nothing to worry about right away, when I was doing some research a while back, and I'll have to go back and find, this is one of those where there's really no symptoms either. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's if it's in any of the early stages, there is not going to be any symptoms at all. And I wouldn't have known about this. If I was alive 50 years ago, I would have kept living my life until all of a sudden a lot of horrible things started happening to me when I was, 15 years down the road. And that's kind of what happened to my grandfather, who got it in the 80s, the 1980s, not his 80s. Because once the cancer finally kind of busts out of the prostate, it'll spread all over your body. It'll get into your bones, in your lymph nodes, and it will kill you. So you have to catch it when it's inside the prostate, but when it's inside the prostate, you'll generally have no symptoms, until it's too late. So it's one that you really do need medical intervention to detect early enough to really have a successful cure.
All right, Dave, you're sitting back there being nice and patient and supportive. Should probably ask you, Mike is your partner. So when you hear the C word, from an outsider perspective, what was that like? And, did you have thoughts go through your head or anything like that?
Well, I approached it like we'd approach a problem with a computer. So it's like, you have a history of it. So let's go ahead and get this test done. And the test, by the way, the test is very non-invasive for the most part. It's just a blood test. Now, sometimes they'll do what I love for our community. They do a digital rectal exam, which does not involve one of the most. It involves sticking a digit up your bum just to check to see if there's no lumps or anything like that there. So everything was formed there. And he's like, okay, your PSA is high baseline. I said, okay, it's a baseline. It hasn't changed over a year. He's in his late 40s. Why do you want to have this biopsy done and stick a needle up there and stuff like that? Well, that's our procedure. So I'm thinking, okay, so you ran crystal disc info, you saw two bad sectors, now you want to replace the hard drive with no other symptoms? Why are we doing this? So they go ahead and do it. And even after the cancer, the diagnosis, I said, okay, you took tiny little pieces of his prostate. And how are you sure this is cancer? Are you, there's always going to be some cells in there that are bad. And I didn't believe it. I said, well, let's have an imaging done. Let's have an MRI done. And then I'm like looking at the picture and boom, there it is right in the middle. I'm like, oh crap, we can't ignore this. This has to be dealt with. And then it was, when do you get it dealt with? And, it could be 5 to 10 years down the road. Is now a good time? And, met a really good surgeon who said, yeah, it's like the sooner you get it out, the better. That means that you'll have more time to recover. So it was, and it was scary to have to take a week off of my business to take care of this guy. I was going to hire a nurse. It's making sure that I couldn't leave the house, I couldn't really leave the house anyway. So that kind of worked out, working remote and stuff like that. So in that sense, it was the best timing because I could do so much work from home.
So am I understanding that correctly? This is pretty recent. So this happened since March?
Yeah, it was, I think you went to the surgeon and it was, you went to the biopsy in March and then you went, met with the surgeon in June.
Am I close? So PSA test in March, biopsy in June, met with the surgeon in late July. Early July, met with the surgeon late July, had the surgery mid-October, so about a month ago.
Wow, okay.
So yeah, it's been quite a ride.
So this is quite fresh then, and wow, I didn't realize it was that short a time. Now, of course, like Dave said, this is probably one of the best times to go through that. You know, you're kind of stuck home anyway, so why not get a surgery, right? Okay. So here's a question outside of that. One of the things that I read was that they really talk about lifestyle as a way to either prevent or care for this after the fact, where changing the diet, you know, doing the fruits and vegetables and things like beets and greens and all of that stuff. Is that true?
I would say being healthy helps quite a bit. In the months before, because I scheduled the surgery 3 months before it happened, I spent that time trying to increase my physical fitness, took up running, tried to lose a little bit of weight, even went to what I jokingly call rehab, which went to pelvic floor specialist and learned how to do these exercises called Kegels, which greatly, if you basically work that out, you greatly increase the likelihood that some of the negative side effects of the surgery won't happen. And so kind of doing all of this made the outcome, it helped. In no circumstances will it hurt. I mean, being healthy will always help when you're going into a surgery. And in a best case scenario, which knock on wood, I think was my case, I think it really helped with a successful outcome. So I think, getting in the shape and, increasing your fitness level is something that it won't hurt you and it'll probably help you.
All right. I thought I was done working out. I guess I got to go back to being healthy again and eating good foods. So I guess we'll do that. All right.
Go ahead.
Nope. Go ahead.
I say, from the research kind of we did, it's a general type of cancer. I mean, there's specific supplements that they say can sometimes help, like saw palmetto and stuff like that. But that's to prevent problems. The screening, once you have it, it's not going away. It's not going to shrink or anything like that. So, and it really depends on where you get it. Fortunately, his was kind of inside. So they talk about margin. So it hadn't spread anywhere. But the time you feel it, it could be on the outer aspect of the prostate. And that's when it starts spreading through the lymph nodes, the rest of the body, and kind of goes anywhere.
So it sounds like if you feel it, it's too late. So
if you feel it, it's much more of a problem than if you don't feel it, because we're guys, we're like, I'm feeling healthy. Why do you need to run this test? Why are you sticking that up my butt type thing? I'm feeling fine. And that's the thing, is you see this number on a chart and you're like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm feeling totally fine. And again, it wasn't until I saw the MRI that I thought they were just trying to sell us surgery.
All right. So I'm looking at, one of the places that I went to look up stuff was the Prostate Cancer Foundation. And they talk about, some of the things to do, ahead of time and to get checked out. Of course, establish a routine and get yourself checked on a regular basis, especially if you have a family history of prostate cancer in the family. I did not realize this, but if you have an African ancestry, you should get screened. So that,
in your 40s.
Well, that'll be a few years away.
I'm not going to ask what your PSA is, buddy. I'm not going to ask. I know it's on your face what you're going to tell me,
Yeah.
It's like, when's the last time you had your backup checked?
Every night with a screenshot verification. So, I'm not telling you my PSA. Just like I'm not telling you who I voted for. Come on now.
All right. This is actually a PSA for your PSA.
A PSA for the PSA. All right. So I'm going to put the link to this. I'm going to put the link to the Movember page, which also has a lot of good resources on prostate cancer and things about when to get checked for it, what happens during the screening, prevention, risk factors, and all of that stuff. So we'll have all of that in the show notes. So didn't want to get too far into the nether regions of this, but certainly wanted to ask a couple of questions. And I really do thank you for coming on, because it's not, like I said earlier, it's not an easy topic, but it's necessary. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying I really, really appreciate you, having us on the show and inviting me. I think, it's not something that people like to talk about, and, you know, maybe not a normal topic for a tech podcast, but it's really important. You might be saving some of your listeners' lives today.
Well, that's one reason to do it. If, as things start to affect us in the world and in our lives, like I said, just because it's not tech related, most of us are either running our own business, we're in charge of people in our business, and our health is basically it. I mean, I know right now if I couldn't work, I have certain things that can be done without me, but, a lot of them can't. And if I can't work, I can't, pay the bills and keep the wife happy with our house and home and everything. So got to do it. So, all right. Any thing that we missed, any questions I didn't ask that you want to make sure we get out there?
I would say one thing, if anyone goes to some of these sites about prostate cancer, you read about some of the scary side effects that can happen after the surgery, because they're operating in a very delicate area, and it's the worst case scenario does not always happen. I've recovered quite well. I haven't really faced any of the really bad outcomes. And so it's not a sentence that you're going to have to wear Depends for a year or something like that after you have the surgery. That could happen, but it didn't affect me. Don't let the potential of a bad side effect stop you from saving your life. So you can be around for your family and, your friends and your career. It's a serious problem, but, there is hope and they can fix it. I guess I'd just say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's, if you detect it early, it's completely treatable for the most part. It's not going to go away. So ignoring it, again, I think about a lot of things with our industry, and we tell clients, you really need to get this taken care of. Like, yeah, eventually I will. No, you need to get this taken care of before it becomes a problem. When it becomes a problem, it's too late. I think when talking with people, I know this is things that I was worried about. Without getting graphic, you can still have sex. You can still do all that stuff after even the prostate is removed. Really, the only thing that you can't do is you can't have kids at that point. So that was really the only thing that talking with a surgeon would be the limiting factor. Are you interested in having kids? Once you have that done, you don't have the ability to kind of produce stuff to have kids. So, but as far as having general sex and stuff like that, you can completely do that after the prostate is removed. I know when I heard about that, I was scared. It's like, okay, you're never going to be able to have sex again. No. The doctor's like, you can totally do that if all goes well. I mean, there's always complications with surgery, but if you plan it out right and they have different methods of doing the surgery, it's called nerve sparing. So if the cancer hasn't grown, that's the thing. Once the cancer grows to the outside, you can't do that. But as long as it's in the prostate, if you get it removed early enough, you can live a normal full life.
So I was trying to tiptoe around the topic, but I guess we don't have to anymore. Because that is always the thing where, I think most men don't really know what the prostate is. They hear it begin with the letter P and prostate equals penis, and it won't function afterwards, but that's not the case. The prostate is not the penis, right?
Correct.
So
I can tell you it still functions for him, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Yeah.
You want to see him turn red? He just turned red.
I'm just making sure we stay under the PG-13 rating. And,
I didn't words when I was discussing that.
Or we could come back and do, you know, a Pod Nuts at Night show. So then we could have an adult beverage and, you know, have a much deeper conversation. All right. Well, guys, again, thank you very much for coming on to what?
I think you've embarrassed Dave here.
Was a question I was going to ask. So, well, the picture that I used to promote the podcast is, you know, the drinking. So, can you still drink and have fun?
Yeah, that's no problem. The like the first week after surgery, you don't really want to have any alcohol, but once you get past that initial recovery, you can eat and drink whatever you want. It's just your own comfort. I'm someone that I really enjoy adult beverages, obviously only in moderation, right?
Yes, for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, entertainment purposes only. Yes, there's no issues there. And we're actually filming this right now. There's a brewery next door, so maybe they'll see some of our business soon.
Well, it is Friday afternoon, so...
The community knows me and my beer drinking.
Yes, Dave is known as the beer snob.
Well, it's he married the right person then, because we both enjoy that together.
You guys, so Dave, I know you went on a little bit of a craft beer tour a couple of years ago. Are you still doing that, or has that subsided and you've now got, you know, your handful of, you know, go-to regular drinks?
Oh, hell no. I'm trying never to drink the same beer twice. So that's like, we went like a couple months right before his surgery, we went to Fort Collins and just went brewery hopping. I drank a beer for every mile that I ran. And that's kind of now my guidepost.
So
run a mile, drink a beer. Run a mile, drink a beer.
Is that your guideline? Is that you, if you run a mile, you can have the beer? And
yes.
Okay. Now here's the question. Do you keep track of what you drink? Meaning, do you have a list?
There's an app called Untappd. Uh-huh. So if any listeners are on there and want to friend me on Untappd, I'm Dr. Dave on there. So you check into beers, you rate them, and you see what all your friends are drinking, and you kind of toast them. It's like the old Foursquare where you check into beer. So, yeah, no, I do that, and I actually will look. I will go to a restaurant. I'll be like, okay, let me see what beers you have. Okay, I want that. Oh, I had that. Yeah, I'm the really annoying guy at the bar that takes 10 minutes to order beer while you're all like, come on, just order a Budweiser already.
Yeah, just order something you know. So now here's the thing. Now I know, and, you know, calling you the beer snob is probably not giving you enough snobbishness. Because you, if I remember correctly, you will ask about the content and the hops and all of those things, won't you?
Oh yeah, no, I'll try to research it because I don't want to annoy people. Okay, that's beside the point. No, I don't want to annoy the server, but I will check that out and I will ask questions about the method and stuff like that. If for some reason I can't find it, it's a specialty thing, and I will be the one that will taste the beer, drink a glass of water, and do stuff like that to try to tell the differences. So yeah, I'm quite particular about it. But yeah, no, but getting back to it, there were no restrictions. The only restrictions is the typical thing after surgery for a few weeks: don't lift anything.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, the only restriction was the doctor said his comfort level. And without getting graphic, if you're drinking a lot of beer, you have to go to the restroom a lot. Well, the first week or so after surgery, going to the restroom is a little bit uncomfortable. But beyond that, everything was fine. Just do whatever you want. Whatever, listen to your body, and if something bothers you, don't do it. And there's been really no restrictions, except now he's using this, well, I can't lift that or something like that because the doctor said 6 weeks. So, all right, you don't have to make
So in week 7, you're calling him on it, is what you're saying. All right. So just getting back, so that app is Untapped.
Yep.
And now I just got a text because somebody's watching and texted me. And is this a beer only app or does it include other drinks?
I think it's beer only. Now you have me kind of curious.
Pretty sure. Well, the reason I asked is because the text mentioned that this might be an app that Mr. Rainey would like. Mr. Rainey's a bourbon man, so.
It doesn't, because I was actually talking with someone about that, because he's the one who got me into the bourbons, and a little note, if I ever find the bourbon that he likes, because I will always go to a store and try to find the bourbons that he likes so I can ship it to him, but I haven't found it, and I've been wanting to track the bourbons, because it's like, okay, there's like 12 different versions of like Willette and all that, and I can never keep track of some of these. So
there's got to be a bourbon app. I mean, bourbon snobs are as common as beer snobs these days.
I need to check. I need to check on that. And the first person I'm going to add is Matt on that.
Okay. All right. I'll let you ask him. I won't ask him. Of course, if he does hear the show, he'll send me an email. So I'll find out pretty quick.
Yeah, but no, it looks like it is just beers, unfortunately.
All right.
There's enough beer out there that they need a whole app for.
All right. Do you have a total number of beers that you've tried? Can you, is that something you can find out or that you keep track of?
I guess so. 523.
523.
Dang.
Wow.
Bad. Crap. I'm a lush, man.
And this is over a couple of years ago.
I was going to say, you started a year ago?
It says joined September 2015. So that's 100 right. beers a year. That's 2 beers a month. No.
100 new beers a
two
year.
2 beers a week.
Yeah. All right. Not bad. That's right. When the officer stops you, I've only had 2.
I just checked into that 2 hours ago, officer. I don't know what you're talking about. It was a 12% bourbon barrel stout.
12%.
Some of them are. I tend to go for the highly aged beers and stouts, and those are usually
the double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of stay.
I can only give you an example of that. I'm like, I'm good. That's one reason why my office is right next to the brewery. That way, I've got some place to sober up.
I tend to stay in the single digits. So, all right. Well, gentlemen, thank you for that enlightening conversation and the introduction into the Untapped app. I'm sure we'll get some comments on that, and you'll probably find some new friends on there.
I always love finding my new friends in the chat community.
Okay. All right. So, Dave, Mike, thank you again for coming on and chatting. And we'll let people start to get back to their working hours, finish up lunch. You guys can start your walk over to the brewery. All right. Thank you again. And again, we've talked about men's health, specifically prostate cancer, one of the focuses of the month of Movember. I will have the link in the show note. You can go to, of course, Movember.com or the Prostate Cancer Foundation, PCF.org, and get more information. Guys, listen, don't wait, don't delay, don't ignore. Go get yourself checked. Stay healthy. Be well, not just for yourself, but for your family and your business. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of PodNuts Pro. I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing as always. If you want to be notified when these shows do happen live, you can like us on YouTube or the Facebook. Subscribe to each of those pages so you'll get notifications. And then, of course, if you want to listen to the audio, head over to podnuts.com, find the PodNuts Pro show, and you can go back and listen to all the shows we have in the history there. On behalf of my friends and my drinking buddies, Dave and Mike, thank you all very much for listening. And until next time, holla.